You are listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector here at the Private Officer Beat Radio. Every week, you'll hear breaking news, topics of training, information for the industry of security, public safety, and law enforcement. So strap in, hang on, we're about to speed off in this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio, a production of Blue Ram Media Group and sponsored by Private Officer International, a private security and law enforcement organization for the last 18 years. And actually, we're kind of proud of that. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International in Armour College. And boy, do we have a lot of things to share with you today, as we always do. We have a lot of breaking news. Looking through the papers right now, got quite a few notes here. We're broadcasting live from, well, a very beautiful place. We're on the Gulf Coast of Alabama in our Gulf Coast regional office today, and going to be here for a couple of days, and then we're going to go on our second leg of our training trip. Just got off the road after more than 10 days, and we're going to be talking today about upcoming events and methods that you can get involved in. Now, I do want to mention a very interesting email from, and he told me that I could use his name, Franklin Holland. Franklin Holland wrote an email this past week saying, "I am quite surprised about your organization. I have been a law enforcement officer, retired now at the rank of lieutenant, and in the security industry for some 10 years. I have worked, of course, for many of the national security companies and currently work for a small mom and pops, which I'm really enjoying. But while searching to see how many security guards are killed each year, I came upon your website, privateofficer.org. First, let me say thank you. I've never seen any type of law enforcement or security organization that does so much for one industry, not even the unions or the national organizations for law enforcement. I went through to see the cost of the memberships and looked at the training at Armour College, which I understand to be related somehow to Private Officer International. And again, I am quite surprised at the low cost of courses and the efforts in which you have gone to provide quality training and services to private security. I want to make another note about the original reason and how I came upon your organization, which, as I mentioned, was I was checking to see how many security guards are killed each year. Your records and detailed information on this topic is remarkable. The only other thing that comes close to what you folks are doing is the online police platform known as the Officer Down memorial page I'm sure you are familiar with. And then he goes on with more accolades for Private Officer International. Now, I have been saying this for years, and I still don't think that it's resounding loud enough or making an impact where it needs to. Private Officer International was founded to support the private security and now the private police industry, and to provide them with services and training and benefits that no other organization anywhere worldwide that we know of provides. And there are several larger security organizations, mainly for executive level managers, management, and upper scale law enforcement, police chiefs, and whatnot. And they're larger. They're not better. But we have always prided ourselves in providing very unique, specialized services. I mean, we have things like a chaplain service. We have a benevolent unit, committees, including legislative committee, which we're working with several states right now on providing information and working with them on, in one state, establishing regulatory training, and on the other, increasing the training and the requirements for security, including the bouncers and nightclub staff. We often get emails from people, including local, county, state, and federal agencies, inquiring about various information that we might have in our databases. And that's one of the things that we have been able to establish over the last 18 years, is a really large database of all sorts of information that deals with private security and law enforcement, including injuries and deaths and use of force and lawsuits and so on and so forth. So we're proud of those things. And of course, when someone like this gentleman contacts us out of the blue and says, I just came across your organization and I am astounded at all that you offer and all that you do, and yet don't really charge a whole lot for it. When we come back from this first break, I want to talk to you about some of the projects that we do have going on and how you can get involved. We're going to talk, of course, about the news. Always got some kind of news going on here. And again, that's something else that we're very proud of, and that's our news department. I think I said that the last few weeks, but we really have established a process, a means by which we gather news, information, statistics, and other information, training topics, and legislative bills and processes that's happening across the country. And we put together these newsletters and news broadcasts and huge databases of information, unlike other resources. And we're going to tell you a lot more about that when we get back from this first break. Remember, Body Armor USA. I'm sure you knew that I was going to say that. We've got what it takes to protect you. Whether you're looking for stab-resistant, cut-resistant vests, stab-resistant vests, cut-resistant gloves, your corrections officer, security, law enforcement. Hey, we even have vests for fire and EMS. Check out Body Armor USA. We've got what it takes to protect you. We'll be right back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Can we be real for a minute? I'm a high school math teacher, and I'm a firefighter.
Ma'am, we're going to have you out in just a minute, okay?
I'm a designer.
I'm a retired VP in business.
And I'm a student.
I'm a mother.
I'm a business analyst, and I'm a volunteer firefighter.
You thought we just fought fire?
Firefighters get trained to do so many things.
Right here. Be sharp.
What we do is serious business.
Three-quarters of the nation's first responders are volunteers. That includes here in Connecticut. And lately, it's been harder than ever, with fewer citizens volunteering.
From teenage cadets like me,
to seasoned veterans like me.
So what are you waiting for?
You ready to make a difference?
Ready to join our team?
Your community needs you. We need you. Visit EverydayHeroCT.org or stop by your local firehouse today and take the first step of joining your fire department.
This is breaking news coming out of New Orleans, Louisiana. A security officer murdered. Police say they were on patrol and they spotted a vehicle parked off to the side of the road with the passenger door open. Police went to investigate and found the driver in a security guard uniform had been shot multiple times and was deceased. Police do not have a suspect nor a motive and have not identified the security officer at this particular time. The investigation continues, according to police. Five other security officers have been murdered, 11 shot in the past 7 days. Over the weekend in DeKalb County, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta, a 24-year-old security officer was killed at a car dealership near the Mall of Stonecrest. Police say that video surveillance shows five individuals approaching the property at around 11 p.m. in the 8400 block of Mall Parkway. They soon after found the security officer killed of multiple gunshots. He was taken to a nearby hospital, but he died of his injuries. He's been identified as 24-year-old Henry Ashley. Police have released surveillance video and photos, asking for anyone's assistance. Also murdered this week in an Atlanta area hookah bar, a security officer tried to stop a confrontation and he was shot and killed. A suspect was on the run for several days, but police have now had taken him into custody. In Montgomery County, Maryland, a shooting of a security officer, police say, at an apartment complex. Also, this past week, a security officer in Miami Gardens, Florida, was shot and killed at a nightclub. Officers responded to shots fired and found the security officer dead at the scene. Police say that the security officer has been identified. The suspect is in custody. The female security officer was identified as Shardé Hannah, a security officer in the state of Florida working at the club. 33-year-old Jarrell Bowman charged with murder. A security officer at a UPS facility in Nashville, Tennessee, died this past week. He, too, was shot in the 3200 block of White Creek Pike, just off of Bradley Parkway at around 4:30 p.m. Deterius Smith, the security officer, had just gotten off duty and left the property and then soon returned. He met with another man, and police do not know what transpired. Shots were fired. The suspect fled. Police say they do not have a suspect in custody at this time. Another security officer was murdered. This in White Plains, New York. Further information has yet to be developed. 11 other security officers also shot in the past 7 days. The increase in violence continues for the last 3 to 4 years, and there is no stopping in sight.
We should also notice that during this past week, a security officer in Maryland working at a high school was pummeled and beaten severely. Police said on Thursday, February the 3rd, the 61-year-old security officer was walking down a flight of stairs in the Bethesda Chevy Chase High School when he came across a student identified as Jacob Moore, 18, skipping class around 1:07 p.m. He talked to the young man, trying to get him to go back to class, but something triggered the man, and he began pummeling and kicking and spitting into the face of the 61-year-old security officer, beating him unconscious. Police say another teacher and a security officer heard the commotion and stepped in to detain the suspect. Police also have arrested the suspect, an 18-year-old male, charged now with aggravated felony assault. These are just some of the situations happening across our country. Security officers now the prime target of the destruction and assaults and becoming victims. Where does it end? Where does it stop? We'll be back with more news in just a moment.
What a fantastic day.
What a fantastic day.
The water's like glass.
The water is like glass.
Don't forget the soda.
Don't forget the life jacket.
Who wants the 8 and who wants the 15?
Who wants the inflatables?
What a great day.
To be on the water.
So glad you saw me go over.
That was so funny when you went over and your life jacket inflated.
Never go out without a life jacket on again.
What a great day we had.
When it comes to wearing life jackets, make the right choice. You're in command. Vote responsibly. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the U.S. Coast Guard.
Slow down.
Slow down and move over.
And move over. When you see lights,
vest,
I'll be flaggers.
Please, give us some room. Slow down and move over.
When you need us,
we've got your back.
You have ours.
You got our back?
You got ours? You got our back? Please, slow down.
And move over.
Welcome back to the Private Officer Beat Radio on this Monday morning, February the 21st, 2022, as February is almost at a close and in the books. It really is just amazing how fast time goes, especially it seems as you get older. And that's definitely where I'm at now. We were talking before we went to the first break about some accolades that we received in the last few days from a gentleman who recently came across the Private Officer International website. But our sister company, Armor College, is also getting its own accolades. Over the last year, we've been presented two awards. We were written up in the national magazine, and we've had a local news article written about us as well. One of the programs that we started about 18 months ago is getting new life, and that is assisting low-level criminals, and I don't even like using that word, people who have negative interactions with law enforcement and they've paid their dues. We're not talking about murderers and bank robbers and rapists. We're talking about shoplifting, petty theft, bad checks, minor things where they have made mistakes somewhere along the way, but they have paid the penalty, whether that be probation or community service, or even a jail time. People get confused with jail and prison. Jail is usually for misdemeanors, low-level crimes, and they're serving it at the local level, usually at the county jail. And prison, of course, is for felonies and federal offenses where they're serving longer time in either state or federal penitentiaries. And they're going to be charged with a much higher crime. But we have a program. And we've been trying to get this really up and running, and really it lost some steam during COVID. But now we've got some interesting things happening. We're on board with a regional company in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. We're going to be talking with them again later this week to finalize some information. And we have a meeting in Alabama with the workforce, state workforce provider. And we have a few other folks who are interested as well. I just read this past week that a truck training academy in Florida has also partnered with the state to train these inmates who have low-level crimes to become truck drivers. And as we know, there is a trucking shortage. According to the news article, this training school is working with the Florida Truckers Association. And there's usually one of those in every state. We are working with some trucker associations as well, because Armory College is also bringing truck driving training to our school along with real estate. And we're doing that by partnering with current training schools, truck driving and real estate schools and others. And we hope to be able to really help folks who have had some bad situations to get back on their feet and back into the workplace. And let me just say this. Armory College started with the whole premise of helping folks to get to work and to stay to work by training and certification. And that's why we chose right from the beginning when we first got to school 13 years ago, not 4-year or 6-year degrees, not to offer bachelor's or master's degrees, because that's a long process. We are all about getting people to work as quickly as possible. We're really a vocational and public safety school, and that's what we do, and that's our specialty. So for us to get involved in truck driving schools and real estate schools, that's going to help to get more people back to work. And we're pretty excited and proud to be involved in that. But we have a lot of different things happening between the companies that we own. We have several other businesses that are beginning to grow. But it is really exciting for us. If you want to be part of either company, or you want more information about what POI does or what type of opportunities there might be with POI or Armor, just use this as your point of contact, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And the other thing that we do both at POI and Armor is that we always offer methods of payment. And we're not looking to get people in debt. And that's the other thing that schools that offer 4-year and 6-year and beyond degrees, what happens is these students take large loans and they're in debt for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And we didn't want to do that. So we have several different methods of payment, several different ways to get your education, even if you don't have any money. We're all about helping, enabling, assisting. And obviously, by putting somebody in debt for $100,000 or more, that's not helping. And we're not going to do that. If you want to get involved, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We are currently looking for instructors, adjunct instructors at Armory College. We recently had some marketing on this. We have a number of folks going through that process. There's a small startup fee because you will be in business for yourself, but we're going to give you all of the training, all of the certifications, and if you have already established yourself as an instructor in different areas, let's say, you know, first aid CPR or use of force, then we're going to enhance that training and put you in business and partnering with Armory College. Again, helpdesk at privateofficer.com is the only point of contact that you need, and we will get you in contact with the right people. Like I said, always got a lot happening. When we come back from this next break, we're going to be talking about a woman who jumped overboard on a cruise ship after having been detained by security for a situation that she was involved in. Remember, we are here to assist you. Our help desk is open 24 hours a day. Someone is monitoring our news, our email, and you can always reach us. Also, remember, to be part of the conversation, all that you have to do is go to privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Read all of our postings of daily news 365 days a year. We don't take a day off, folks. We're always up around the clock. And go to facebook.com/Private Officer International. A lot of cool videos are posted there, news, training information, and a whole lot more. And you can also check us out on twitter.com/Private Officer. We'll be right back on the Private Officer. Be right back.
Those that protect and service in law enforcement put their lives on the line. These law enforcement officers often work long and irregular hours in tough and dangerous conditions, run a high risk of being attacked, wounded, or even killed by the very criminals that prey on us. Every year, hundreds of law enforcement officers are killed or seriously injured in the line of duty. Blue Alert is a system that provides the means to speed the apprehension of violent criminals who kill or seriously injure local, state, or federal law enforcement officers. Find out how you can truly help those who help. That's BlueAlert.us.
We're the good guys. We are the good guys. Private security do so much. They risk their life every day. That's no bull. They're the frontline protector. That's no bull. They're on the scene almost always before any law enforcement, EMS, or fire service. We are the good guys. And we have recently kicked off a contest. Have you not heard about that? Oh my goodness, you must not be getting our breaking newsletters. Go to privateofficer.org. A box will drop down. Put in your name and your email address. We're not going to spam you. We don't sell you, and it doesn't cost you not one red cent. But you're going to get all of the breaking news, all of the training opportunities, and all of the Officer Don reports absolutely free. Maybe one letter a day, maybe one notice a day, maybe two. It depends on what's happening in the industry. But if you were receiving our news alerts, then you would have seen on Friday a newsletter came out, or a news alert, about the Good Guys campaign. You can enter the contest. You can either draw, or you can develop electronically, digitally, a campaign, a logo for the Good Guys. The Good Guys campaign is going to elevate the private security industry. We're going to have a national campaign kicking off in March. We've already set up some interviews, a national press release. This will be posted all across social media, and we're going to get a lot of attention. We want folks to know what really security does day in and day out. We're going to introduce them to a whole different side of the private security profession. Not those movies you see that really just make fun of security officers. Nope. We're not going to highlight the negative. We're going to highlight the positive. We're going to hold some interviews of security officers who have performed CPR or first aid, who have saved a life, who have made arrests and detentions. And some of those we've already highlighted in our own news throughout the last few years. If you want to enter this contest, all that you have to do is send us your logo, your campaign, your marketing ad. You can design it. You can use whatever material that you'd like. Be creative. Really think about it. Anything goes. Enter by sending it to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. First place will receive $1,000 in armor credit. You can take any course offered. 400-plus courses are available. You'll also receive a lifetime Private Officer International membership and $250 of products from Private Officer and Armor College. And second place, not too shabby, you're also going to receive $500 credit for Armor College training, $100 of POI and armor merchandise, and a life POI membership. We're the Good Guys campaign. We're excited about this. If you'd like to have some input, you can chime in simply by sending an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. You have suggestions, what it should look like, what it should say, where it should be posted, who should be involved. Let us know. You count. Your information is going to be used. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We're the Good Guys. Scream it. Let people know. But I will tell you this, and this isn't being negative or really providing criticism. This is the facts. I want you to understand why some people do look down on security so that we can change our image. And that is walking into a grocery store, a security officer is on duty with a shower cap. A shower cap! Are you lunatic? In a half crappy uniform, walked into another location last year. A security officer had bedroom slippers on. Looked like he had just rolled out of bed. These images is what gives the profession that negative image. It's what makes people in the movie business have a plenty of material to use for their upcoming stupid movie that shows security doing some stupid thing looking really stupid. Nope. That's why we're going to have the Good Guys campaign. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Send in your logos, your marketing pieces. Your name will be used on every logo that we choose to use nationally or locally. Your name will be at the bottom of every piece that you've designed. Private Officer International. If you're not already a member, go to our website at privateofficer.org. Click on the little link at the top that says current specials. I believe it's privateofficer.org/flash. And you're going to see a $99 lifetime membership. You can't get it cheaper. Nobody's offering. I mean, there's hundreds and probably even thousands of different types of associations. Their memberships range from a few hundred to 800 to 1,000. And I've even seen in the last four or five years an association that was charging upwards of $5,000 for a lifetime membership. Go to privateofficer.org/flash. Get your lifetime membership for $99. 99 bucks. That's dirt cheap. We'll be right back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Who knows what a child will grow up to be? It's one of the coolest things about kids. The unknown. The potential. The chance to do or become whatever they can imagine. But what if something happens during childhood that stops them from reaching that potential? you know that preventable injuries are the number one killer of children in the United States? And around the world, one child dies from a preventable injury every 30 seconds. But the important thing to remember about preventable injuries is that they're preventable. We can do something to stop them. Things to make sure kids get the chance to be creative and play. The chance to take chances and explore. The chance to fall down and get back up. Help us give your kids, and every kid, the chance to grow up, reach their potential, and become whatever they can imagine. Learn how at SaveKids.org.
Listening to the Private Officer B Radio, a production of Blue Ram Media Group and Private Officer International, a private security and law enforcement organization. I'm Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, Armor College, and other businesses. Have you guys seen this? We posted it recently to our Facebook page and Twitter and some of the other platforms that we use this past week. In the Gulf of Mexico between Mobile, Alabama, and Louisiana, New Orleans area. A Carnival cruise ship out to sea in the Gulf. Their security officers get a report of a female causing a disturbance in a hot tub. The security staff go to the location, contact the person involved, a female, and they try to de-escalate the situation. They talk to her very nicely. They tried to get her out of the hot tub, and she wasn't acting right. They finally, you know, after a certain amount of time, they forced her out of the hot tub. They did put her arms behind her back, and I think they were probably thinking about handcuffing her because she had been causing a disturbance. If you've ever taken a cruise or you know anything about the cruise security world and law, the ship's captain has the right to arrest you, detain you, and jail you until they can get to the next port of call where law enforcement will take custody of that person on whatever charge it might be. Now, when they're at sea, if they're in the U.S. Waters, they can contact NOAA, which is a federal law enforcement agency, or the Coast Guard, which is a federal law enforcement agency, and they will respond and board the ship and take control of the situation. But if they are not close to a port of call or they're out in international waters, the cruise ship or their agents, which would be security or other cruise ship employees, can take you into custody, handcuff you, and put you into a detention cell, and they're the authority on the cruise ship. So in this situation, they did have ship security, and there is video, several different videos of this situation. So after, like I said, trying to de-escalate, trying to assess the situation, and trying to get this woman to cooperate, they took her into custody. They put her hands behind her back, probably considering handcuffing her, but they didn't handcuff her. And then they begin to walk away from the area of the scene with the woman, and she breaks loose, and she runs up to the railing. And there, at the railing, she jumps off the cruise ship into the Gulf waters. And she hits her head on the ship going down, which probably knocked her out, and she went underwater. And the cruise ship tried to throw out life rings. I know that a lifeboat was thrown out, and ship members began searching for her, called the Coast Guard, and unfortunately, she went under. And a search with the U.S. Coast Guard from Mobile, Alabama, the cutter ships and helicopters, and also from Louisiana, the Coast Guard from there as well as other rescue entities have been involved in a search. Now, I haven't read where they've recovered her body. You know, in the Gulf waters, it's not as rough as the Atlantic, but there is still a lot of wave action. And there was actually a storm in the Gulf at the time, which could also really make the search and the recovery harder. And she could easily go out into the Gulf and eventually be washed out into the Atlantic. So I don't know. We're going to keep an eye on this, but that was a very unusual situation. But it just goes to show how, no matter where you are as a security officer, things could get out of hand and really just go south and really off-wall type things happen. It's an unfortunate situation that, you know, this person, as far as we know, probably has lost their life. But it was a situation that she brought on. Now, it's already been mentioned, hey, maybe she was intoxicated. Maybe the ship, you know, caused part of this by giving her too much alcohol, just like they do at the airport before you get on the plane and then you're intoxicated and you cause a ruckus. They're also looking at, you know, some people are saying that the ship is liable. Maybe she had a mental health illness, emergency. And that's something, a topic that we're seeing thrown out there all the time. When someone does something wrong, oh, they must be having a mental health crisis. Sometimes they are, but sometimes they're not. So we will keep an eye on this. If you want to check out the videos, go to facebook.com/Private Officer International, or you can check it out online. Many news platforms now have this video and story as one of their top posts, but it was very unusual. Just goes to show you, private security, it's not what the public thinks it is. That's why we've got this We're the Good Guys campaign kicking off next month in March. For the last few weeks, we've been talking about mini conferences, and we're trying to put this together. We want to make it regional, where you can drive to it within a few hours, one day and possibly 2 day, for some training and also for some networking. We're going to try to make it as regional as possible, and it all depends on the interest level of people in the security and private law enforcement and retail security field, as well as others who would like to support this endeavor. And you can get more information by sending an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We have tried this before COVID. We've had a few training events, situations over the years. They're not well attended. Obviously, many security officers cannot afford to travel. They don't have the money to pay big ticket prices for these things. That's why we keep them at the bare bone minimum, someplace between $50 and $99 is what it's going to be. We'll be bringing more information. If you'd like to get involved, maybe sponsor one of these events at your locale, again, just contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. At these events, we're going to be highlighting and introducing the Good Guy campaign. The other aspect of the Good Guy campaign that we're going to do is we are going to be talking with the media and sending out many press releases, both nationally and regionally. And if you want to partner on this campaign, you'll be highlighted in your local media as part of the Good Guy Campaign and Private Officer International. So contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com for more information. We'll be right back.
Thoughts of suicide may feel impossible to overcome, but with help and support, you can find hope and meaning. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK to speak to a counselor, or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. It's free, it's confidential, it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And even if it feels like it, you're not alone.
For some children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today, in America, 1 in 6 children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to povertyusa.org today. Because 1 in 6 children in poverty is 1 too many. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
When breaking news happens, you'll be one of the first to know. Go to our website at privateofficer.org today and sign up for breaking news alerts. You'll also receive Officer Down alerts and upcoming training opportunities. privateofficer.org. In the breaking news category this week, school safety coaches, not police officers, says Concord, New Hampshire school community. The district is now looking at a way to integrate school safety coaches, which will help to counsel and to talk with children who are misbehaving in class. The task force, which is made up of 10 people, recommended that school employees, parents, and community members make up the new school safety coaches and replace school resource officers. Police would be called if there's an emergency or an issue, but they say coaching and mentoring, not arresting. A man hit a security officer in the face with a metal water bottle. This happened on the waterfront in Portland, Oregon. Police say 46-year-old Dontrell Latham then fled after assaulting the security officer with a metal bottle, which then led to a police search of a wooded area where they did find the suspect and took him into custody. Coming out of Atlanta, Georgia, shoppers in the Buckhead upscale area of Atlanta are very upset and concerned after finding security officers from Securitas Security asleep in their patrol cars several times, even taking cell phone video of the security officer sleeping while parked in the parking deck of Lenox Marketplace, a very upscale area, with their yellow flashing lights going while sleeping in the vehicle. This is not the first time nor the second time. It's happened numerous times, according to local residents. Crime in that area is up more than 38%. According to the Atlanta Police Department, a security officer has been found guilty of rape in Hillsboro, Oregon. Police say that the security officer was charged with a 2018 case. He was found guilty this past week and sentenced to prison. 6 juveniles were arrested after assaulting a security officer in Baltimore, Maryland at the Townsend Town Center. Baltimore County Police took the 6 juveniles into custody over the weekend after they assaulted a security officer and 2 police officers at the Townsend Town Center. Police say that the juveniles had to be pepper sprayed and taken down and then taken into custody. Four people were shot at the University Mall in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. That's nearby the University of Alabama. This was some type of disturbance within the mall where security responded. The security officer was not injured. A clerk in Las Vegas of a convenience store shot and killed a man who refused to wear a mask in the store and who allegedly has stolen three little bags of potato chips. After the shooting, police say that the 36-year-old cashier at the Terrible's gas station then shot himself to death. Police say this was all over a face mask, a COVID face mask, and a petty shoplifting. Police do not know what prompted the cashier to shoot the man to death and then commit suicide. Talking about suicide, Fairfax County, Virginia, one of the largest counties, if not the largest county in Virginia, police are now investigating after they say one of their recruits killed his wife over the weekend and then committed suicide. Police say that the recruit had just been hired and was waiting to enter the academy. This happened in the 4200 block of Sonia Court in the Mount Vernon area of Fairfax County. In Newport, California, Newport Beach, California, a police officer is dead, another critically injured, after a police helicopter they were riding in crashed into the ocean. Police say the helicopter crashed at around 6:30 p.m. The two officers from the Huntington Beach Police Department were responding to nearby Newport Beach for a call. The helicopter went down. One officer did not survive. Officials identified him as Nicholas Vela, 44. The second officer has not been identified. Security at the Seattle Art Museum in Washington State say they've had it. They are either going to have to join a union or quit their job. It's a growing movement of museum employees across the nation. Just in the last 2 years, several museum security staffs have joined the union. Last month, more than 70% of the internal security workers across the country at museums joined unions. Police say wages is not the only issue. It's how they are being treated, and they want some say at the table. In New York, school security guards are under fire after they removed an unmasked man by force from a school meeting in Webster, New York. Police are investigating, and there are multiple videos showing school security officers throwing the man out of the chair because he refused to leave the room for not wearing a mask. Police say that they have not taken a statement from the security officers, but that they will continue investigating this coming week. In Hemingway, South Carolina, a very small town, a 30-year veteran of law enforcement, a black female officer now charged with murder after a short chase when a man ran through a stop sign. Hemingway police officer Cassandra Dollar, 52, is charged with voluntary manslaughter in the shooting of the driver after the chase, which lasted about 8 miles in the small town of 530 people. She's been released on bond pending her trial. In West Ada School District in Idaho, a security officer there has been charged with felony stalking. Police say that the security officer had a restraining order against him after a woman complained multiple times that he was stalking her. Ryan Todd Anderson, 30, now charged with a felony in the stalking incident, and he's been relieved of his duties. In Brooklyn, New York, one of the colleges in the area had to call for assistance from other university and city police after they had a report of an active shooter incident. It was just last year that the new administrator, Michelle Anderson, relieved all of their public safety peace officers of their firearms, saying that there was no need for for guns on the campus. According to this news story coming out of New York City, she then had an active shooter incident last week and had to call multiple other departments from the Sunny University, the City College of New York in Manhattan, Bronx Community College, and the New York NYPD. It turned out not to be an active shooter, but a man had been gunned down previously outside of the campus. She might want to rethink arming her staff. Security officers also in New York have now filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Marshals. The contract security staff said that they were working under a contract for the U.S. Marshals Service at the federal buildings, and they failed to compensate 10 lead court security officers for wages and paid time off that they lost during the coronavirus pandemic, which was part of their agreement. The lead court security officers and the union that's representing them says U.S. court security officers had an agreement with the U.S. Marshals to compensate them for any time lost during the coronavirus, but that the Marshals failed to do so. The federal security contractor, Sentara Group, announced that they had secured this agreement with the U.S. Marshals as the coronavirus was beginning to happen. They were supposed to be paid for time off, forced time off, through the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, but say that just didn't happen, and they have no choice but now take it to court. Police in California, highway patrol officers, are facing arrest themselves after being accused between 2016 and 2018 of falsifying overtime while patrolling high occupancy traffic lanes or providing protection to transportation workers in construction zones. 54 CHP officers now face felony charges in this situation. On the Vanderbilt University campus in Nashville, police say while they were on patrol, they spotted someone in a vehicle. Police said they were in the parking garage, one of the parking garages on 21st Avenue. They went to investigate. They saw in plain view drugs. During their investigation, they found that one of the persons identified as Shauna Bales, 32, had a felony warrant. She was taken into custody. She's being held on $350,000 bond. In Roswell, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta, a beef bandit stole more than $15,000 worth of high-ticket steaks out of a freezer outside of the restaurant. Of course, we want to know, where's the beef? The man has been identified through surveillance, and his warrant is out for him. A club security officer and four others were shot over the weekend in Houston, Texas. Police responded to the famous bistro located in 3000 Bludgett Road around 1 a.m. over the weekend. Five people were shot, including the security officer, during a disturbance. Police say that a football player in Tennessee has been charged after he assaulted several store employees at the Walgreens. Tennessee Titans linebacker Bud Dupree has been charged with assault three times. The 28-year-old assaulted several clerks during a disturbance. No other information has been released. 62 Wisconsin State Patrol officers have been given awards for life-saving efforts and extraordinary public service during a special ceremony this past week in Madison, Wisconsin. Well-deserving, I'm sure. If you want to see all of our breaking news, just go to our breaking news address at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. We post only fresh news there every single day. The High Court in Ohio just ruled that a Cincinnati police officer who was beginning to file lawsuits anonymously against people they say had wronged him. According to a Hamilton County judge, the Cincinnati police officer had filed several lawsuits against people accusing them of being racist. He didn't include his name, only John Doe in the lawsuits. A higher court ruled that that's not legal and that he has to identify himself if he's going to sue anyone at all. We have noticed an uptick of police officers suing if they're injured on the job, if there is a conflict, if there's any type of reprimand or other employee situation where they are disciplined for actions that they say they were just doing their job. Now they're suing their accusers. In Austin, Texas, 19 police officers there were indicted over the protest that occurred there in 2020. They say that these 19 officers use excessive force. They'll have their day in court. This is a shame that these situations continue to happen. Police officers trying to do their job now facing criminal charges. In Florida, a security contractor is under investigation after they fired a worker after the worker raised concerns about COVID-19 safety. The security contractor, identified as Regis Investigations and Protective Services, fired an employee within 10 minutes of raising concerns, according to the Department of Labor. Employees at the company said that there has been an issue with COVID. Many security officers have come down with it, and that there has been no attempts to use any additional PPE or safety measures. A restaurateur in New York says he's had to spend more than $750,000 on security to deal with unruly diners since the beginning of COVID. Cameron Mitchell, the chief executive of Cameron Mitchell Restaurants, who has locations in New York and California, said prior to COVID, they didn't have security. After COVID, they've had to spend almost $1 million on top of the supply chain snarls and rising inflation just to control the people coming in and out of his restaurants, especially in areas that require social distance and also masks. Mr. Mitchell explained that having security at his restaurants is a priority now just to keep himself and his workers safe. The new New York Mayor Adams has slashed 560 school security agent positions in the budget. These were positions that were vacant currently. According to the New York Times, the school system is already down almost 2,000 security agents, and now the mayor is just not going to fill 560 of them. School security personnel, which are a division of the NYPD, but they are paid by the Department of Education, say that they're already understaffed and that it's going to be very hazardous for them not to have more security officers. In Neshoba, Mississippi, the county school district there just announced this week that they are forming their own police department. They have had deputy sheriffs in their school system, but say that other schools in Mississippi have recently begun doing the same thing. It's not because of the quality of service that they're getting from the county or any complaints. They just say they feel better about having their own police force where they can patrol the grounds, respond to calls quicker, and have 24-hour visibility on their school sites. A Tennessee woman is in custody charged with 23 sex crimes involving 9 students at a local high school. Melissa Blair, 38, charged with 23 charges, including 18 counts of aggravated statutory rape, 4 counts of human trafficking, patronizing prostitution, 1 count of solicitation of a minor. McMinn County Sheriff Joe Guy announced this on Tuesday, saying that they were notified earlier in December about this activity with this individual, a school employee. Police say that she's currently out on bond, $100,000, and the investigation continues. A security officer in Shelton, Washington, was killed this past week after a vehicle careened off the road and into the guard shack. The Washington State Police investigated the accident. They say the car was traveling more than 60 miles an hour when it careened into a security guard shack at the front gate of the Sierra Pacific Industries lumber mill. The security officer was instantly killed. This is the third incident that we know of in just 1 year of security officers being killed inside of these guard shacks at the entrance to the properties. This is something that we're looking into to see how we can avoid the situation, maybe just by moving the security check a little further off the road. And a final note in the news this week, a Delray Beach security officer has been arrested after shooting an unarmed man who posed no imminent threat to them, according to law enforcement. Dennis DeComer, 66, was arrested in the shooting. Police said that a man at a train station was talking to himself. Surveillance video shows that the man later walked up to the security officer and said something. According to police, seconds later, the security officer pulled his gun and shot the victim, Taiwan Thomas. Detectives say after conducting their investigation and interviews, they determined that this was not a self-defense case. He was not in imminent danger. Video clearly shows the man was walking away and posed no threat at all. Thomas was taken to a hospital and is expected to recover from his injuries. DeComer faces a charge of felony aggravated battery and aggravated battery with a firearm. Remember, you can check out our news every single day at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. We're coming right back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Think about everything that you save. You save gas, you save money, you save time. But have you ever thought about saving life? That's right, life. In just 1 hour, you could save up to 3 lives, giving 3 people more time with the ones they love. And isn't that the best thing to save? The need for blood is as universal as it is constant. Save life, give blood.
I was just going to the grocery store.
Seatbelt violators, beware.
I forgot to put it on.
If you're pulled over because you've broken the law.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable.
And you're not wearing your seatbelt.
It's broken, but I was gonna have it fixed.
No matter what your excuse is, you will get a ticket in addition to the ticket for your original violation.
Click it or ticket? That's pretty easy to remember.
All right, we're back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio on this, the 21st day of February, 2022. You know, for the last couple of years, since the protests and the uprise here in the U.S., we've heard a lot about influencers. Some companies have hired individuals who have higher recognition on social media to represent their brand, to help in their marketing, to be the spokesperson of the organization or the business. Influencers, they call themselves. They don't really work. They sit at home. They play video games. They post on social media. Who knows really what they do? Even today, talking to an influencer, quote unquote, even they don't have a direct definition of what their job really is. They're a spokesperson, they say. They're a representative of a company or a business. If you've used social media, especially YouTube, then you know that if you have a high visible website or channel, as they call it in YouTube, that you can earn advertising dollars. People, companies that click through, you'll get a certain amount of money for each click. And that's how influencers really got their notoriety. They really are just social media people like you and I who post stuff, but they have been visited more frequently, and somehow they've driven more traffic to their site. Some police departments now, just in the last week, actually, I saw several more that announced that they have influencers for their police department at salaries of more than $80,000, people that go out into the community to try to influence others, especially the younger teens, to behave themselves and not to commit certain crimes. And these people have no legal background. They have really not a whole lot of skills from what I've seen, and yet they're influencers. They think because of their position maybe on social media or their recognition that people, especially teenagers, are going to listen to them. Well, I think it's no different than if you hire a rapper. I mean, really, they don't have much of a background. They might have a little bit of a following, but what is the value? What is the value of hiring these people and paying them a substantial salary to do what? Even the police department, in one of the descriptions this past week, said that they are going to allow this individual to play it by ear and to kind of make up the whole job duty as they go along. It's all new, they said. This has never been tried by law enforcement, and so we're putting him out there and, you know, letting him do his thing, whatever that might be, and we hope that it's going to work. Well, let me tell you, people, and this is kind of, I hope that this is a eye-opening, a rude awakening type situation for the security industry. But let me tell you a little bit something. An influencer, according to the dictionary and even the social media dictionary that they have, an influencer is someone in your niche or industry with sway over your target audience. Influencers have specialized knowledge, authority, or insight in a specific subject. Their pre-existing presence in a niche makes them a useful launching pad for brands in search of credibility. That's very interesting when you consider that this person isn't someone who has been in a specific industry. They aren't a big, huge business owner, successful business, multi-million dollar company themselves. They just talk the talk and try to walk the walk and make it sound like they know something about something. But, you know, a lot of times it's all BS. True influence comes from experience. It comes from a position of knowledge, not of notoriety because, oh, I'm popular. Oh, I've got 100 million followers. What does that mean? Anyone on social media can buy followers. I get contacts all the time. Add 50,000 followers to Twitter. This is how much it costs. Being an influencer doesn't really mean a whole lot if you can't add value through your experience, your training, and your direct knowledge. But I'm going to tell you someone who does have a lot of influence, who does have a lot of knowledge and background in the subject, but they're not using their power. There's a word that we need to use here, and that's clout. Have you ever heard of that? Clout? You see, these influencers are trying to have clout. They say they have clout. They don't. They have a few followers. That's not clout. Clout is influence or power, especially in politics or business. Usually it's something that garners respect because of what they've done, where they come from. If you listen to entrepreneurs, if you listen to people who have been there and done that, then you can respect them if they've been there. But if it's just somebody who has a lot of social media followers, and I'm going to give you an example. I follow entrepreneurs. I look into their background. Damon John, you may be familiar with him, an African-American who grew up in Brooklyn, New York. He started a line of clothing called FUBU, For Us, By Us. It really basically was some hats and T-shirts. But that was the beginning of his clout, of his influence on other African Americans. He got people to wear his products that were influencers, true people of color, and all colors, whites, blacks, orange, purple, pink, all of these people were wearing his product. He's gone on to be a very successful business entrepreneur and a multimillionaire. Just because you've got 7 million followers, that doesn't give you clout. That doesn't give you prestige. It does not give you credibility. But I'm going to tell you an industry in our country who is not using the clout that they have. They're not using their numbers, their experience, their background, their longevity to their benefit. And it really highly irritates me that we can't come together in the security industry to say, we are professionals. We are the experts. We are the influencers. We are the knowledge people when it comes to protecting life and property, whether that be electronic security, physical security, patrol service, bodyguard, executive protection, investigations. That's us. We've been doing it for more than 100 years, and we've grown into a multi-billion, $44 billion, $100 billion business. We're not using our clout. Our organization here at Private Officer International is kicking off next month a campaign, national campaign. We're the good guys. And you know what's frustrating? After announcing this new initiative, we haven't had one security company contact us. We haven't had one member, one executive person from the other two security associations in the U.S. Not one that says, you know what, that's a great idea. We need to get out in front of this. We need to help make this, you know, a nationwide campaign that people see and hear and recognize. Nope. Not being done. Right now in the nation, there are 1,115,000 firefighters. They're recognized. They're represented by a number of unions, but more than that, they have a lot of campaigns. They keep firefighting and preventing fires in the eyes of the public. In front of the public, you'll see campaigns throughout the year about preventing fires. I mean, we've all remember, only you can prevent forest fires. That was a national campaign to cut down on wildfires. There are 655,000 police officers currently in the U.S. as of this year, and that has dropped significantly. There are 915,000 doctors and 2022. There are 480,000 nationwide plumbers in the U.S. There are 223,000 electricians in the U.S. This is as of 2022. And in 2022, there's an estimated 2 million registered nurses in the U.S., about 2 million, according to the national statistics. 138,000, and this seems kind of low, accountants. The point of telling you this is very simple. Currently, the latest count by the Department of Labor and other resources for private security, there's about 1.6 million security officers in the U.S. The only other profession that has beat us are nurses and truck drivers. We have double the amount of law enforcement now. And it, you know, as you know, the private security industry is blowing up. It's growing. Not only the physical static security guard end of it, but electronic security, patrols, investigations, robots, robotic technology, drone security is really a big thing. You would not think of that. But there are companies who have added drone services and even one that is specifically just a drone security company. Well, what do they use that for? Well, how about all of these large outdoor events? How about companies that have large campuses and large properties to patrol? No one person or even two security officers can patrol adequately these properties, so they have a drone on patrol. Some physical security companies have partnered with robotic companies, and they have robot security. Our industry has a lot of clout, been around for more than 100-plus years, has a large number of people employed from all walks of life. We're not all Barney Fifes. We're not all mall cop. We're not all, you know, this big stigma of cop wannabes and people who can't even spell their own name. The private security industry is a professional industry and one that should elevate its business, its service, and the profession. Because without private security, there'd be a lot more crime. There'd be a lot more burglaries. There'd be a lot more robberies, despite the sleeping security guards, despite the people who don't take it serious. And I'll give you a good example. Just this past weekend, I drove by a large retirement village. It had apartments and homes. It had several churches and other things on the property. I wanted to see what it was all about. I drove in. Well, I get down to the bottom of the driveway and make my turn into the main portion of the property, and there's a gatehouse. And there's two security officers. Grandpa, about 75, sitting there half asleep. And another man on the phone with his shirt untucked and wearing some type of sneaker or I don't know what kind of shoe it was. I know it wasn't uniform quality shoes. Sloppy, unattentive. I told you about the security officer who wore a shower cap at work. Another security officer who wore bedroom slippers at work. That's not professional. I would send them home, and if they couldn't dress right, I would terminate them. We do all of these crappy things without regard to our image, to ourselves, or to our company. And yet, we're professional business. We're professional service. 1.6 million. There's a company out of Florida. I mention them quite often. They're called Jack Hayes International. They record all the numbers of shoplifting and loss prevention and retail incidents. And every year, LP agents recover millions of dollars of stolen property and make more than a million apprehensions, detentions, or arrests. Our uniformed security forces across the country make more than 1.2 million apprehensions, detentions, or arrests as well. So collectively, we're well into around 3 million apprehensions, detentions, and arrests as a security organization, business, profession. We have clout. We have experience. We have influence. And yet, ASIS and the IFPO, the two larger security associations, have not used it for the good. They have not got out in front of the public and put something together that says, hey, we're the good guys. Look at us. Look at all the things that we're doing. Look at all the things that we've accomplished. Look at all the lives that we've saved. Look at all of the people that we stopped committing crimes. Look at all the people that we have put in jail doing bad things. We're part of crime fighting. We're part of public safety. We're part of keeping people and property safe. We're the good guys, and yet nobody's doing it. Nobody's doing it. Why? We have security companies that employ millions of people around the globe, and they could be out front really leading the charge, especially in this day and age with everything that's going on. They could be saying, look to us. In several other countries recently, large security companies and organizations stepped up and said, we're crime fighters and we want to be more involved with law enforcement. As law enforcement numbers continue to decrease, we want to help out. And I'm in talks with other people right now here in the U.S. about how we can step up as professionals, true crime fighters, how we can network with law enforcement. I'm not saying we're going to be out there, knocking them down and picking them up and dragging them to jail. No, I'm saying there's a lot of things that we can do to help prevent crime. And we already do it. We have clout. We have power in the security industry. We have recognition. Isn't it time that we use it? Isn't it time that we really step up and say, look at us. Look at us. Look. We're more than a mall cop. We're more than some stupid image from a movie. We're true professionals, protectors, lifesavers. We are the good guys. Send us your thoughts, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. That's going to do it for today's edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Remember, we're here 24 hours a day. Contact us with any questions, comments, or concerns. But until the next time, be blessed, be safe, and we'll see you back here on the radio.